today, we know this week, as we enter into this week celebrating, it's going to be a week of celebration. When the 4th of July hits in the middle of the week, it's kind of like a week-long holiday. Some people are already taking off work this weekend and going to celebrate all the way through the 4th. Some are going to take off on the 3rd or the 4th and celebrate the other part of the later part of this week. And either way, there's going to be a lot of boom, boom, firecracker, boom, boom. Remember that? You've got a lot of stuff going off, man. Make sure you keep the water hose nearby. I wouldn't want you to burn your yards or your neighbor's yard like I did when I was 8. So anyway, it's not a good thing. Still kind of scarred on my backside from that one. Anyway, let's talk about that later. That's another message altogether. But today, well, you're going to be doing a lot of firecracker shooting, a lot of family getting together, and a lot of friends getting together, a lot of barbecuing, a lot of fellowship, a lot of eating. And just really, how many know what we're celebrating? Do we really remember what we're celebrating? How many are thankful for the men and women who have given us a reason to celebrate? Yeah. Sometimes we're more worried about the barbecue. We get some more worried about how much money we're going to be able to spend on fireworks or not on fireworks. Are we going to get the first in the line at the fireworks display show? Are we going to get the best spot, which is the back, so we can get out the fastest and not get stuck in traffic for 3 hours? So I got an amen right there for somebody. Hallelujah. You felt that? But how many of us really take time to really remember what we're celebrating? What we're celebrating this week? And this morning, we want to take time. I believe as God's people, we have a lot to celebrate this week. The freedom that God has given us, the freedom he's given us in this country to spread the gospel around the world, to bring the gospel to our friends and neighbors. Like I was sharing this morning, there's people who are in hiding. There's people who are in prison. There's people being put to death for the very thing we're doing here this morning, because people have fought for the freedom of religious freedom in this country. And so today, we want to honor our freedom. We want to honor the men and women who have paid the price for our freedom. We're going to watch this video, and then we're going to go right into our presentation this morning.
I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her harbors and her ample rivers. But it was not there. I sought for her greatness in the fertile fields and the boundless forests. But it was not there. I sought for greatness in her rich mines and vast world commerce. But it was not there. I sought for greatness in her brilliant democracy and her matchless constitution. But it was not there. It wasn't until I spoke with the people in her streets, witnessed the freedom with which they lived their lives, the freedom to worship, speak their minds, and still find common ground, I then began to understand the secret of America's genius and power. Let us remember that we are America. We unite as men and women, blessed by the providence of God to be found in this great country. We pray for God's goodness to rest upon this great nation. God bless America.
Early light, What's so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming through broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
In any area of our armed forces during this next video, when you hear your theme song being played, please stand so we can honor you.
Thank you.
Today we honor those who have served this country so fearless. We honor the moms who served, the fathers, the men, the women, the grandmas, the grandpas, the aunts, the uncles who have served defending our country's great freedom. And today, how many know honor is a big thing? Really, it is. Can we just be transparent today? Turn to your neighbor and say, man, we're going to have one of them kind of services today. We're just going to be very transparent. And how many think that I believe it's time for the church, and we'll make it a pledge of Destiny Church to return honor back into the church, where we can honor the people that God has called us to honor? Do you believe it's the very thing? I think it's a very much a lost thing. So today we're going to talk about honor. We're going to talk about honor, who God has called us to honor, and are we really passing down these genes that I talked about a few weeks ago? Remember me having all the genes on the platform on Father's Day and talking about what are we passing down to our children? And I think that somewhere along the line we've dropped the ball. As a church, as a society, we've dropped the ball of learning to honor people the way that we really should. And we've allowed expressing freedom, democracy, the evil side of that is oftentimes we become self-centered and we become people who everybody else is wrong and we're always right, and we quit honoring those who God has called us to honor. And throughout Scripture, we see the blessing that comes with those people who learn to honor the people that God has put in their lives and to honor those who have not necessarily done the right thing, but because it's the right thing to do, you went ahead and honored those people. And God talks about the blessing that follows that. And so I believe as a church, we're going to talk about honor. Now, next week, we're going to kick off a new series on who's the Father. Pastor Matt and I are going to be sharing this next time about who is the Father and who God is in our life. So we kick off that new series. But today, as we have a time right before the 4th of July, I really feel like it's a timely message. And I feel like it's a message that we really need to hear and say, at Destiny Church, at least, we're going to take on this spirit of honor. How many think that would be a good thing? That when people talk about Destiny Church, they go, that church really knows how to honor well. I think that would be a good thing. That people look at it and say, that church knows how to honor people well. And I think that's just something we should make a heart of our church, is that we've learned to honor. This word honor, we see in the Scripture, and we see it, the definition in itself. Honor means to esteem, to respect. The Greek translation means to fix a value to. To fix a value to treating others with respect because we value them highly. That's the definitions we find. That treating others with respect because we value them highly. Now, how many teens today are in here? Teenagers, how many today say, man, Pastor Gene, I can't wait until I get that great job. I can't wait until I get that great car. I can't wait until I get a great income and I can get my freedom, and how many teenagers here or college students say, that's me, I cannot wait till I get done with school so I can just get out there and get my stuff? Yeah. How many teenagers say, man, I would love it, Pastor Gene, if I could just be blessed? You know what I mean? How many would like to be blessed at an early age? Do you want to be blessed when you're young, or do you want to be blessed when you're old? It's kind of a pattern we see as with wisdom that we learn and we gain financial wisdom and we gain experience that Mom and Dad all of a sudden got a lot pretty wise when they got older, didn't they? And they sure were good managers of their money, and they have a lot of things that we want to have when we first get married, but we have to realize that they didn't gain those things overnight. They garnered those things through the wisdom of the years. They garnered those things through learning how to purchase things, how to pay off things, they realize that credit cards are going to get you in trouble, so they go with a credit card. There's a lot of wisdom there. But we come into a society that really wants it all right away. And I want to give you some of the secrets. If you listen to me today, teenagers, young adults, even moms and dads, everyone here today, if you want to learn the secret of walking in one of the very much secrets of walking in the blessing of the Lord, we've got to bring back what it means to honor. It really does. And those people who carry a spirit of honoring people are the people that God exalts. He takes those people who are submissive and brings them into places of ruling. He blesses them. Young people, if you want to have people walk into any place in town and get a job that only your friends would like to have, But you get hired there, pick one, because you learn to walk in with a spirit of honor, you'll change. You learn to work in your job with a spirit of honor, it changes your outcome. It changes. And so today we're going to talk about honor. And I'm going to just tell you that, first of all, we know the first thing we should honor is our God, correct? I mean, hello. Okay, man, that's just kind of a given today as we get into this sermon, that we know that we are called to honor the Lord our God with all of our lives, with all of our spirit, with all of our heart, that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, that we give honor. My life should live as a place of honor to God. My testimony should be a place of honor that brings honor to God. So I believe that you believe that or you wouldn't be here today. Okay, so I'm not going to preach a long time on that thought because I know today you agree with that. Amen? Can I get an amen? All right, someone's going to be there. Go. You believe in honor in the Lord with your life, but you wouldn't be here. Now, some of us do a good job at that. Some of us are still working on that, okay? And that's okay. But the process should be that I'm learning on this journey that I'm in, that my testimony, my words, my marriage, my actions, everything I have should bring honor to the Lord. That's my role as a Christian. Last week, all day, he talked about it. He said, this is why that our role to be saved is not to get to heaven. Our role to salvation is so that we can live this life that honors the Lord here on earth. Otherwise, when we're saved, God would just like, beam me up, Scotty. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. As soon as we're saved, he doesn't take us to heaven. But we're saved for a reason so that our lives can be a testimony of honor to the Lord. But we're going to talk about this word honor and get into it for a few minutes here. Our text is Romans 13. We're going to read verses 1 through 3 and then also verse 7. It says, everyone, turn to your neighbor and say, that's you. He's talking to you. Everyone must submit to the governing authorities. For all authority comes from who? From God. All authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. And that's a hard thing to chew, isn't it? Because sometimes we look at it and say, this is the furthest thing from God's man. Or this is the furthest thing from God's will. And is it really? You know, if you read Scripture and you see the timeline, if you study it out, if you have read the Scripture at all and you see the timeline, we realize that there's going to have to be some things that happen between now and what the Word of God talks about is the rapture that takes place. And as those things take place, there's going to have to be some things that have to happen that seem ungodly because it's in God's plan. God has got a time frame and God has got things going to happen that we're not always going to be a nation that points to God. We're going to have some hardened hearts. We're going to have a turning away because this is the way the nation is set up. Things are going to happen. Now, God does heal the nation. Yes, he does. Does God hear the prayers of the people? Yes, he does. But I'm just telling you that don't always be so quick to say this person is not appointed to God. Don't always be so quick to say this person is not in God's will. I wonder if God could use some leaders. You know, when we have spiritual leaders in our government authorities, it seems like we really relax, don't we? But when we have people there that we don't think are hearing the voice of God, all of a sudden the church is praying. The church is like, oh, God, you got to help us for this one. God, and I wonder if God doesn't do that by design, that sometimes we forget that we're called to pray and that we shouldn't get so lazy in our spiritual apathy that we realize we're called to pray for our great country. We're called to pray for our land. He said, if my people who are called by my name, who's that? Christ, Christians, would what? Humble themselves, repent of their evil ways, and what? And pray that he would come and heal our land. And so don't be so quick to write off who is in authority. All positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what? What God has instituted. Wow. This is not easy to read, is it? Rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished, for the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right. Isn't that a good thing? So even if you have somebody in authority who's not doing the right thing, they don't strike fear into a Christian if we're doing the right thing. If we're honoring God in our spirit, if we're honoring God in our testimonies, we don't have to live in fear of what the authorities are doing. Because if we honor them, look what it says. For authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Would you like to live your life in fear of not worrying about what happens in Washington? Then would you like to live without fear of authorities? Then look what it says. Then do what is right, and they will what? They will honor you. So if the church would learn to honor God and show honor the way we should, even the reprobates that we think are not serving God the way they should, they'll turn around and honor the church. We spend all of our time picketing, slandering. We spend all of our time doing all these other things against the government that we think is not doing the right thing, and we're also not doing the right thing. But if we would turn our heart and say, God, I'm going to honor those you have placed in authority over me. I will honor you, God, and I will do the right thing, even if nobody else is doing the right thing. Even if the media is not doing the right thing. If my life will honor you, it says those in authority will what? They will honor you. They will look at you and say, there's something different about you. There's something different about your character. There's something different about your spirit. We want to honor you. There's an honor that comes. And they will honor you. Look what verse 7 says. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and your government fees to those who collect them. Oh, thanks, God, for putting that one in there. Okay. For those of you who filed your extensions and still haven't done that, we need to get on that. Okay. And give respect and honor to who? To whom honor is due. So we've got to learn to return honor. So who do we honor? Let's answer this question today. Who do we honor? Of course, we know, number one, we honor God. That's just a given, okay? We honor God with our life. Everything we do should honor the Lord God with our life. But I want to break it down. I believe that somewhere along the line, we've lost what it means to really honor. I believe we need to learn to restore an honor again to the military of our country. How many believe that? You believe that's a good thing we need to learn? My father, my grandfather, they taught me stories that said, you know, when a serviceman entered a room, he said everybody would get up and stand. They would offer their seat to that person. But somewhere along the lines of the Vietnam War, there was a cultural shift. And let me tell you this, whether you are for war or against war, do not take it out on our military. Okay? All right? You vote. That's the freedom of our vote. You vote for who you want. You vote pro-war or anti-war candidates. That's fine. You have that freedom. We have a democracy. That's great. Campaign, that's all you want. But we do not take it out on our troops. Our troops are there dying for us. We have single moms who are widowed today because their husband went over to defend our freedom. They're fighting for us. We have moms who are leaving their children with their grandparents and over there serving our country, giving their lives so you and I could come here today in an air-conditioned room and enjoy worshiping our God. Instead of being persecuted, instead of having your head covered, ladies, and being punished for your stand of Jesus Christ. We have a freedom to come and serve the God. Well, you have a freedom not to come. That's the freedom we have. It's because people who have given their life over the years, and somewhere along the line, we've allowed that spirit of disrespect to our military, people who are fighting for our freedom. And young people, let me tell you, you want to know who a hero is? Every one of those men and women who stood up earlier, that's a real hero. That's a real hero. You should honor them. No, I'm telling you, you learn to honor them. Show respect to those who have served in our armed forces. I like this video I'm going to show you right here. It kind of reminds us of the lost attitude that hasn't been passed down. And I think it's time to restore this attitude of honoring those who have served in our military.
Three teens were arrested today for defacing the Kensington Park War Memorial overnight. The destruction includes painted messages against the military and the war in the Middle East. The three teens were picked up in the early morning hours after evidence was left at the scene.
Grandpa, something wrong?
Some people sure have short memories, and those who are too young to know need to be taught. Come on, I want to show you guys something.
Oh, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
At dawn on the morning of the 6th of June, 1944, 225 Rangers jumped off the British landing craft and ran to the bottom of these cliffs. 225 came here. After 2 days of fighting, only 90 could still bear arms. These are the boys of Puente Loco. These are the men who took the cliffs. These are the champions who helped free a continent. These are the heroes who helped end a war. You are men who in your, quote, lives fought for life and left the vivid air signed with your honor.
In the name of God and country, I learned to defy gravity.
To honor my family,
I lived in the belly of a beast.
I fixed the hearts of iron monsters.
I became a worm in the mud for dignity.
For honor.
For righteousness' sake.
For God and country.
I fought for you.
I fought for you.
For you.
I fought for you.
I fought for you.
I fought for you.
I fought for you.
For you.
For you.
For you.
For you.
I fought for you.
I fought for you.
I fought for you, and I'd do it again.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Time that we learn to restore honor back. You see a person in uniform, I dare you to buy their lunch in the restaurant. If you see them at Starbucks, buy their coffee. Do something for them. Let them know you appreciate them and their service to our country. I think that the Word of God is very clear that we learn to honor our president. 1 Timothy 2:2 says, pray for those in authority over you who rule over you. And this is a very, very sensitive subject, I know, because so many people have different views on the president. And this is not a political sermon at all. So if you're looking for that, it's not going to happen today. But I just want to tell you this, that we live in an open democracy. You openly campaign for who you want to. You can vote for who you want to. You can go out and shake hands for any candidate and talk about the pros and cons all you want to. But once we have an elected president, as the church, we are called to pray for our president. And we spend so much time criticizing our president and those who are in the cabinet with him. And rightfully so. There's a lot of things going on that we all know that need to change. And to be honest with you, I'm not happy with either side of the fence at this point. I see a lot of things that need to change, but we're called as a church to pray. We're called to pray, and if we would spend just an ounce of the time we spend criticizing in prayer for our president, I wonder how much would it actually change? Would it change the climate of what happens in Washington? Would it change? But all we do is we criticize, and we're passing on that to our children And so, listen, I am very much that you're openly to campaign for who you want to. And I have no problem with you openly campaigning for who you want to. But take time to realize also, we are also called to honor them. And you can campaign for the next candidate. You can candidate for the person you think is the best person. That's the freedom of living in America. This is why we have people who died, we just talked about it, who served their life, giving us that freedom to serve who we want to. But remember, he's also our commander-in-chief. He's also the one that God has placed in authority over us. And we're called to pray for them. How many think that's a good thing? In fact, let's just pray right now. Father, right now, we pray, Lord, for our president. We pray for President Barack Obama. Lord, we just pray that, Father, even the stress that he's feeling right now, I just pray on this Sunday morning, may your spirit, Father, be upon him. God, may your spirit be connecting to him even now. Father, I pray that his spirit is opening up to direction from you. And God, we just pray blessings over him and his family. God, I just pray renewing his mind and spirit today. May he know there is a church that still believes in praying for our president and praying for our leaders in Washington. In Jesus' name we pray and we say amen. I believe somewhere along the line we've got to restore the honor of praying for those people who God has placed. We've lost respect for the police, haven't we? Isn't it so true? We've allowed so many cop shows out there, so many movies about, you know, about cops who are dirty, you know, and we got 1-2% of all these people working in there who maybe have done the wrong thing, and we take that and see the movies about it, we see shows about it, and we take that and we stereotype that to every person who's ever served, defending us, protecting us in our local communities. We need to learn to honor those in authority. And every time we get stopped for speeding, doesn't mean we have to talk bad about how bad that cop was. Maybe we should just slow down. Really, you know? Is the truth? It's the truth, isn't it? Let's just talk about where it's at. Let's get mad at ourselves for getting caught. Now, does it mean there's not people out there who are corrupt? Yeah, in every society, in every workplace, there are corrupt people who work there. But let's don't take the minute few and lump them in and allow them to stereotype our viewpoint of the ones who are serving and giving their life for us. These are real heroes. Right, Carl? How many branches of the armed forces do you serve? Army, Navy, Marine Corps. And served in the LAPD. He's a real hero this morning. You want to see a real hero? You want to see a real hero right here? Serving 3 different branches of the armed forces. How many years you serve in LAPD? 33 years in LAPD. Sheriff's Office. That's right. Janie, you also served. How long have you been married?
66 years.
66 years. See, this is what we need to honor today. People who stick with it even when it's not tough. We need to honor Janie because how many know Carl wasn't easy to live with? And we know this. These are real heroes. People we got to learn to honor. How many know that we need to learn to honor teachers? Any teachers want to say amen out there? Any principals want to say amen? We need to restore honor to teachers. When a teacher is over your classroom, listen, not every teacher has it in for your kid, no matter what they tell you. I never met a child yet who didn't think their teacher had it in for them. I have 5 kids. I know everyone's going, "Who teaches doesn't like me?" It's a natural response of someone who's trying to push them to grow. And we need to quit defending our kids and start defending the teachers, right? To try to train our kids. I'm going to go up there and give that teacher a piece of my mind. They're paying favorites and they don't like my kid. My kid comes every day saying the teacher doesn't like them. And I'm going to tell that teacher. How about we support our teachers who are being paid way much lesser of a salary than they should be paid for such an important job in our society of training our children? We need to restore honor to honoring our teachers. Matter of fact, I just tell you right now, as we get ready to go back to school time, we're going to have a time of honoring our teachers. We're going to be adopting some schools, and we're going to be doing some things for teachers this year. It's going to be a great outreach we're going to do at Destiny. I'm excited to tell you about that more and about another month. But we got to bring honor back to you, honoring the teachers society who are teaching our children. How about elders? Leviticus 19:32 says, honor the face of the old. You know, we got to learn that in society that, man, we're here because of the elders who have brought us into this world. That's right. Only they bring us where they have shown us. And so many times it's easy just to be young and forget that one day you're going to be old too. And you're going to have gray hair too. And I love the attitude. I just tell you, I just kind of brag on all the elderly here in our church. I want to tell you, I love it because you guys come in with such great spirits. I've never been a part of a church that had such a great spirit in the elderly. Come here, Glenn. Okay. I'm going to take some. Come here, Glenn. He goes, I didn't know I was elderly. I didn't know that. I don't know. I love something that he told me. You probably don't even remember me telling me this. He told me a couple months ago. He says, Pastor, he goes, we love coming to Destiny. He goes, now, 10 years ago, I'd probably be in the front of the altars jumping with every song I sung. He goes, but now, in my heart, I'm jumping in every song, in my mind. But I love what you're doing. Keep going for it. I love that spirit, Glenn. I love the spirit that you show. That's such a good example that we have so many people here, even elderly. I know the music's way too loud for you, probably. And I know that you probably don't like the style of all that. Some of you love it. Some of you probably don't like it. But you know what? You love the fact that we're reaching another generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's your heart. And so you come in openly and you rejoice that people are coming in. We've got to learn to honor the elderly. Teenagers, if an elderly person walks in a room, open the door for them. Give them your seat if there's no seat to sit down. Carry the groceries to the car. Take the cart back at Walmart when you see them taking their groceries. Just stop a few minutes and help them load the car up and take the cart back. Just little things. Can we do that? What a great testimony that would be. That if at Destiny Church, we would take on the spirit of honor. Just honor and take a little time out of your day to honor those that God brings in your path. That's why we have nursing home ministries, Gene, right? We need to go to those that nobody else is visiting. So many times she has to go by herself, and there should be people wanting to go with you just to go and shake hands and love on people who are there that nobody else has cast aside. Let's learn to honor. Let's learn to honor the elders. God talks a lot about honoring elders all through Scripture and the blessing that comes along with that. Quickly, I'm going to close. I've got to give you these real fast. Our elders, we're called to honor God on our job. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working to the Lord. Remember that boss you're working for? It's not really the boss that you think is bad. If we would change our mindset to saying, God, I'm going to work with a work ethic that says I'm going to honor God and what I do, it will change the way people look at you. I'm not working for that boss who's grumpy. I'm not working for that boss I don't like. I'm working for my boss, which is God. And so I'm going to do my job according to if God is my inspector. I'm going to do my job according to God is the one who pays me. And if I will do that, it will change who you are. It will change the way you get honored at work. When everybody else is taking shortcuts, when everybody else is talking bad about the company or the boss, you're going to stand out like a light in the darkness because you say, you know what? No, I'm working this job as though I'm working for the Lord, and I'm going to give it 100%. Young people, when everybody else is texting, when nobody else is looking at your job, and they're surfing on Facebook, find a rag, find a broom, find something to clean. Do something that says, you know what? I've got integrity, and I'm going to work because I'm going to be paid at this job, and I'm going to work hard. Whether my boss sees me or whether he doesn't, God sees me. You take that ethic, and I tell you what, you'll rise to your position fast. I know what it is to get promoted early on at a young age, teenager, be manager, assistant managers. How's that happen? It's the favor of God because you take your job serious. Second service is going to get a lot more than you are, I tell you that right now. We've got to learn to restore honor to our pastors. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, let the elder who rules well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. You know, it's important that we honor our pastors. And I'll just tell you right now, you guys do a great job here at Destiny doing that. I have no complaints at all. you guys really got this, and I really appreciate that. But let me just tell you this. Let's say that this, that every one of us here probably have gone from a situation where we left a pastor who probably wasn't worthy of honor. And so it's easy to always go back and to tear them down. Let me tell you this. How about I challenge you? We take the heart of David. Was even though Saul was after David, even though Saul was doing David wrong, David said, I refuse to touch the anointed of God. Let's refuse to tear down other pastors. Let's refuse to tear down those who aren't doing right. Let's refuse to tear down, jump on the bandwagon every time the news comes out with a report about somebody doing bad. How about we just pray for them? Let's just pray for them and honor the Lord and say, you know what, I'm not going to touch them. God will judge them. I'm going to pray blessing over them. How many think that's a good viewpoint we should have as a church and as a body when it comes to honoring pastors and leaders? Yeah. We're called to honor parents. The Word of God says in Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother, and that your days may be long on the land which the Lord is giving you. Children, we're called to honor your mom. You're called to honor your dad even when you don't like it. This is important. You want God's blessing? You heard me talking about God's blessing. You want God's blessing? You learn to honor your parents. I don't care what your friends say. I don't care what your friends do. You say, you know what? I'm going to honor my mom. I'm going to honor my dad. I'm going to show them respect even when I want to talk back. Even when I don't like their rules, when I'm living in their house, I'm going to do my best to honor the rules of their home. And God will bless you. God will bless you above and beyond. I just guarantee you. And if you live in rebellion, you're going to walk in a lot of pain in your life. You're going to walk. I did youth pastor for 12 years. I worked with hundreds, even thousands of students over the years. And I can tell you this by first-hand example. Those who honor the parents, I've seen them elevated and God blessed them. And those who walked with rebellion had some tough lessons they learned the hard way in life. The choice is yours. Let's learn to honor. As adults, we shall still honor our parents, right? We never get too old to honor our parents. We're called to honor our spouses. 1 Peter 3:1-2 says, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands. So if any of them do not believe the word, that they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Ladies, if your husband's not a believer, and it's hard to honor him when he's not doing the right things and he's not treating you the right way, I just challenge you. If you'll learn to honor him, it says that through you honoring him anyways, honor him even though, like he was a man of God, even if he's not, it says that through that, that testimony will pull to his heart and he'll come to know the God. He'll come to know the real God through your testimony of honoring him. It goes back to our husbands as well. Husbands, we're called to honor our wives. 1 Peter 3:7, in the same way, husbands, you must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift to a new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be what? Hindered. Any guys got any prayers not being answered? I wonder how you're treating your wife. I don't have a long time to say this today, but let me say this to you, that we got to remember God's called us to honor our spouses. Very important. We honor each other. According to Scripture, we lay down our life for each other. One's not ruler over the other one. It's a place of honor. If we really break it down, the Scripture is all about us honoring each other. What are you teaching your children about honor? What are you teaching your children about honor? You find me a young man who doesn't honor his mom, and I'll show you a young man who doesn't honor, who won't honor his wife. Teach our children to honor their mother, guys. Dads, teach your children to honor their mother. Moms, teach your children to honor the father. And see if it doesn't change the difference in your home and the climate in your home. And the last thing we see, we're called to honor others. Romans 12:9-10. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. How about we take this to heart? How about we don't pretend to love others, but really love them, hate what is wrong, and hold tightly to what is good? Love each other with a genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. We're called to honor each other. What would change in our society, what would change in Destiny Church, if we would say, you know what, we're going to take on a spirit of honor. and we're going to learn to honor each other. I'm going to honor you. I'm not going to pick at you for the mistakes you make. I'm not going to take you and take the things I see bad in you and expose them to everybody I can. But how about taking on a spirit? I'm going to honor you. I'm going to honor you. We're going to honor each other. How many think that's a good testimony? That we would learn to honor each other. You know what? I'm going to honor you. I'm not going to come and tear you down. I'm going to come and build you up. I want to honor you. We would take and honor each other. How much would the world say, you know what? I want to be a part of that kind of people. They honor people there. They respect people. They don't tear down, but they honor. It's all about the love of Jesus Christ. He says, don't act like you love them. Do it. Honor each other. Honor your neighbor as yourself. It's a lost art when it comes to honoring. It's something that we've allowed to slip away, and it's very much over 145 times we see in Scripture where the Scripture talks about honoring, honor, honor. We've got to allow that honor to come back into our homes. We've got to allow it to come back into our churches. We've got to allow it to come back into our spirits and say, you know what, we're going to give honor to who honor is due and allow Jesus Christ to rule in our midst. How many think that would be a huge testimony to our society that if they see a church that's full of honor? Wow, think of the difference we can make. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet today. We're going to close with a song that we all know. How many want to bless America? God bless America. We're going to close this song, God Bless America. And as we do today, I want you to make it the prayer of your heart. We're praying that God would bless this nation again, that we would learn to honor, put honor back where it needs to be. Today, honoring the real heroes, honoring those that God has called us to honor. As we sing this song today, let's close with it.
God bless America.
For those that rule over us, God, we praise, Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for all the men and women who have given their life for our freedom. God, we pray for those who are away from home in the battlefields and different places around the world. God, be with them today, encouraging them, Father, in Jesus' name. Be with the moms, Lord, who are watching over the babies while dad's away. And Father, we pray blessing, Lord, over our country once again. God, may we restore honor back into homes, in the marriages, in the families, and back into the church where you've asked us to learn to walk in honor. And God, most of all, may we honor you in everything we do. We say together, amen. Turn to somebody and give them a high five and say, man, it was great to be with you today. God bless you.